you. Well, good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. Thank you very much for inviting me to be the speaker. I'd invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. That's on page 1190. This morning, I'd like to consider this parable of the sower. It's the very first parable that the Lord Jesus shared out, and it's one that he's going to expound on. Now, there's a lot of great truths in this, and there's a lot of great practical application for all of us. And maybe this is a parable that you've been looking at for a long time. It's one of the ones that we share with the boys and girls when they're little, because it's about birds and the sun, and there's the farmer and the seed and all of these things. But when you have the opportunity to understand it, the Lord is speaking directly to each heart. This is not the parable of the seeds or the parable of the sun. It's not the parable of the birds. He names this parable. He calls it the parable of the sower. And in this parable, dear friends, he's going to be able to reveal his heart. And he's going to be able to reveal your heart. So these are two very critical pieces. He shares his heart. Even in the very first verses, he says, a sower goes forth to sow. Can you just imagine that and stop for just a moment? A sower goes forth to sow. He's the sower. The Lord is. He doesn't say the sower goes forth to harvest. He doesn't say the harvest implies the judgment. He's not saying the sower is going forth to bring the great judgment. He says the sower goes forth to sow. He's going to share the glad tidings of God's kingdom. He's going to talk about the salvation that comes from God. He's going to talk about abundant life. The sower goes forth to sow. God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It reveals the heart of the Lord. The seed is the word of God. The seed doesn't change. What changes is the reaction of our hearts. He reveals his heart. He's the sower who goes forth to sow. Oh, yeah, you're just wasting some of that seed, throwing it on the pathway and the barren, amongst the thorns and the brambles. No, he's not wasting the seed. He's not wasting the seed. He's waiting for hearts to respond. And the way that that seed is going to fall is going to be the way that it germinates. The way that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ goes forth and how it's received is what he's talking about in this particular parable. And so I want to look at it with you. But I would like to look at it with you from Luke's gospel. He shares this out in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. And he says in Luke's gospel, he says these great words. First, let's take a look in verse 1 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. That's page 1190. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuaz, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their subsistence. Can you imagine that? These women provided for the Lord Jesus. It's amazing. He received the worship. He received their subsistence. He was willing to take that. These women traveled with him. The apostles were with him. There were swarms of all different kinds of personalities and people who were here. Now, it's an ancient story, but the hearts of the people aren't that much different. There were moms that were there because they wanted very much for the Jewish Messiah to bless their kids. And there were dads that were there because dads follow moms. What are we doing tonight? I guess we're going out. That's what dads do. And there were teenagers there because they didn't want to miss any of the particular miracles or wonders. Maybe he's going to do something tonight. There were sick people there. There were Pharisees there. There were rich people who wanted to cash in on it all. There were enormous amounts of people that were there from all different places, and they're there for different purposes. And you might say, look, this is a great movement. I mean, maybe this is the time he's going to, like, turn on Rome. But he starts off, and he's going to say, a sower goes forth to sow. You say, really? I mean, you're going to tell them a parable? You're talking about a story? I don't know. But in this wonderful truth, in this parable, he's going to reveal his heart. And he's going to reveal your heart too. So I want you to just notice what he says in verse 11. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Verse 13, but those on the rock are those when they hear. Verse 14, and the ones that fell amongst the thorns are those who when they have heard. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who having heard. And then verse 8, but others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is really powerful. It's really important. I went to Scotch Plains Fanwood High School, class of 1983. I know some of you are graduates of the school also. And we had the social studies teacher that was incredibly boring. And we would walk into the class, and it was 42 minutes, and it was an endurance test. And all you needed to do was just sort of get through this particular class. And there were guys who were reading Sports Illustrated, and there were guys who were doing their homework, and there were guys who were gazing at the cute, attractive girl in the second row. And every now and again, you would look up and you would take inventory and you would say to yourself, is this guy still talking? You got 10 more minutes of this. What is he saying? Nobody knows. All we did was hear words. But if you were going to say, well, what is he saying? You wouldn't know. There was nothing. There was no takeaway whatsoever about it. The Lord Jesus cries out, I want you to hear this. He who has ears to hear, I want you to hear the message of the sower. I don't want it just to be sort of like these words. I don't want it to just sort of be this background noise. I'm sending an email, and my wife is vacuuming, and I say to myself, what is that noise? Will you just turn that noise off? When is it going to stop? He's going to share the parable of the sower, and he's going to say, he who has ears to hear, I want you to hear. And this morning, I want my heart to hear this, and I want your heart to hear it too. What is the message that the Lord Jesus is having the opportunity to share out? He cries it out, he who has ears to hear, hear. Hear this parable. Hear the interpretation that he's going to share with just a small group of people. And what does it mean? And what does it particularly mean to me? So with that being said, I'd like to look at it from Matthew's gospel. So turn back with me, if you can, to Matthew's gospel in chapter 13. You know, in classes today, and in classes today for teachers, the big word in Sherry would know this, is the word safe space or brave space. And basically it means every opinion is coveted, welcomed, nurtured, received. Everything that anybody says is right. Is Columbus a hero? Yes, he is. He discovered the New World and we celebrate Columbus Day. Is Columbus a villain? Yes, he is. He enslaved all those people and it's Indigenous Day. We're both right, we're both happy, we both agree, and everybody walks out. Somehow that's success. The Lord, when he shares this parable, is not talking about a safe space, because he's going to tell you where you are, and he's going to reveal who he is. He's going to take the mask off of the Pharisees. And later he's going to say to those Pharisees, what you do is you have the opportunity to devour widows' houses. Don't tell me that you honor God. And he's going to say to the business people who try to make money off of this, you can't love God and love money. You can't have that both ways like that. So he reveals four different kinds of soils. And he's actually revealing four different kinds of hearts. And so I want you to just notice the great crowd that's there, and in your mind, let's take a look at this very first soil type. He says, please, in verse number 4, he says, and as the sower sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And then he unpacks what this means, and he says in verse 18, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. So you just think about that. Here's this sower, and he is broadcasting the seed. And there's birds that are following him. You can see that mental picture in your mind. You know, I put seed on barren spots in my backyard. There's birds that are little birds. They're all over the place. I go, I clap my hands, I shoo them away. They're back in 5 minutes. The Lord is broadcasting the seed. There's nothing the matter with the seed. It's beautiful seed. It falls on the wayside. The wayside is barren and hard and beaten down. Nothing grows on this wayside. Jesus says, this seed that falls on the wayside is like a heart that doesn't understand. There's no meaning. There's no perception. It's not relevant. It's not worth my time. It's not worth my attention. There is no conviction. Why not? Because the wicked one is active. Now, he refers to him in three different gospels. He refers to him as wicked one. He refers to him as evil one. He refers to him as devil. Because the wicked one is active. Whenever the word of God is going to be proclaimed, whether it be in this building or over coffee or at some office or on the street corner, wherever the word of God is proclaimed, the wicked one is very active. And the wicked one runs interference, doesn't he? With trivial talk and distracting interests and wandering ideas and confusing doubts. And this, and you know, every single time God's word is broadcasted, the wicked one is active, without a doubt. The Apostle Paul says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that don't believe, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ should be shared with them and they should be saved. The wicked one is very active. And so every now and again, if you share a comment or I share a comment at work, John, thank you very much for the Sunday school lesson. Now, who exactly do the Jets play this week? And boom, right on to the next thing. The sower sows the word. The sower doesn't say, this is a waste of time. The Lord doesn't say that. The Lord doesn't say, oh, I'm going to waste this seed on these kinds of hearts. He doesn't do that. He sows the seed. And the Bible says that the devil runs interference. And the devil has the opportunity to snatch that seed. I'm not afraid of that soil type. I don't really see myself like that. And as we go through this, in the rubric of your own mind, think about the different kind of soil type that you might align with here. The Bible tells us then in verse number 5, and some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then the Lord gives the interpretation of verse 20. But he who receives the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he stumbles. So, let's just see if we can't understand this for a moment, because there's a couple complicated questions in this one. And I don't know that I have the answer for it. Maybe I'm going to lean on you a little bit later when we shake hands. It's not little stones, because the seed would find its way down. It's like a sheet. It's like rock. And on top of the rock, there's 2 or 3 inches of soil. And not only that, but the rock actually warms up the earth. And the rock actually allows that seed to have a decent chance. And it shoots up quickly. There's plant life quickly. Seems like there's life here, without a doubt. But when the sun comes up, there's no root system. And when the sun comes up, this plant withers away because it has no root. So So who is that like? What kind of a hearer is that? What kind of a heart is that? A person who receives the message, receives all of the benefits that come with the message of the Lord Jesus, thinks to himself or herself, this is everlasting life and forgiveness of sins and abundant life. This is confidence of heaven. And this person sort of takes off like a rocket ship, sort of like a ball of fire. This new life in Christ. But when there's tribulation, and when there's difficult persecution, and when, in Luke's gospel, temptation comes, these folks are gone. Now, the hard question is this. Is this person a believer? Did this person receive the seed? That's what it says. He received the seed with joy and immediately sprang up. It's a hard question. I don't know whether or not this person is a believer or not. I do know this, that we live in a world today where a lot of evangelistic preachers in modern-day America would just say, look, this is really all you need to do. All you need to do is say this prayer. All you need to do is raise your hand. All you need to do is sign this card. Friends, I've said that to kids. I've said that to swarms of kids. The question is, what happens later? Time sort of tells, because when your faith is tested, and it will be, and tribulation occurs, and it will come, what happens? Am I a believer? Or is this just something that has sort of like this passing thrill? When I was a kid, we used to have evangelistic meetings here at Woodside. As a matter of fact, we brought in this speaker from England. Why he had to come from England, I just don't know. We had to go out of the country to bring him in. But I'll tell you this, the chapel was full. And there were faces I didn't know. And we met every single night right in this room. And at the end, in the Billy Graham kind of style, in a very emotional way. And it was emotional. We all sang Just As I Am. And people, you know, ushers will pray with you. This is your time to get right with God. Come here. This is your night. You may never get another night like this. And people did. They came down. They stood right here. Okay? The question is, whatever became of that faith? Now, I'm making this next part up, but if I was going to, you know, call Robert up a couple weeks later, say, Robert, how you doing? You came forward in the crusade. Yeah, well, when I came to Jesus, I thought that I was going to have more friends, and actually, I have less friends now. Oh, when I came to Jesus, I thought things were going to be better at my job, and actually, they're not. So I sort of moved on, John. I'm now doing yoga at night. You really ought to try it. In John's gospel, in chapter number 6, the Lord Jesus was able to share out some hard teaching to his followers. And the people that he shared it out to rejected it. They said, no, it's too jarring, it's too hard, it's not for me. And so they didn't walk with him anymore. So were they believers? It's hard to know this. It's hard to know this. They receive it with joy. The seed does spring up. But when the farmer goes back, there is no life there. There is no fruit there. It's sort of just like the soil that lands on the wayside. There's nothing there. So I would just leave that to you, and I would ask that you would wrestle with this. And I will tell you the reason that I'm comforted about this and why I don't consider myself like this soil group is because believers return to the Lord. I want you to know that without a doubt, there's been backsliding in my life. Without a doubt, I have gone to places that I should not have gone to. Without a doubt, like the prodigal, you're feeding pigs somewhere. But believers return to the Lord. Believers return to the Lord. Believers say to themselves, I don't want to feed pigs anymore. In my Father's house, there is food and there is bread, and I can come on even as a hired servant. And when that young man is coming down that road, the father runs out to him. He's received because he's part of the father's family. And the father says, I'll hear none of it anymore. And he gives him the ring, and he gives him the robe, and he gives him the sandals. Believers return to the Lord. You know, it's interesting because the older son in that particular parable, when he hears about the party that's going on and he calls one of the servants over, what's going on? Your brother who is dead is alive and your dad has killed the fatted calf. And he says to the servant, bring my dad out here. I want to have a couple words with him. And they have this unbelievable argument they do. And at the end of the day, the older son says, I have slaved for you. See, a son doesn't slave for his father. A son doesn't slave. I've slaved for you, and you've never killed the fatted calf for me. So a great test of this soil type is, do you return to the Lord? A backsliding, carnal Christian. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus. I'm just not walking with the Lord at this particular moment. That soil group doesn't really bother me much. This next one does. I feel a little bit convicted by it, and I feel bothered by it. So he says this in verse number 7, and some fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Can you imagine that? Some of the good seed that the sower is going to spread falls amongst the brambles and amongst the thorns. And the thorns grow up, and the thorns choke the good seed. Verse number 22, Jesus identifies what this is. He says, now he who received the seed amongst the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. That's pretty real. That's pretty devastating. The seed grows naturally. The roots go down. It's not like the seed that is amongst the stones. The roots go down. This shoot springs up. There is definitely life here. But right amongst the good seed are also these thorns that grow. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly. It's a slow progression that the thorns are going to take over the good seed. The thorns are going to choke out the good stalk. The thorns are going to rob the good seed of the nutrients from the earth. And in the end, the thorns are going to win out. And Jesus says this. He says, that's like the hearer who loves the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world. They choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So I sort of step back, and I just sort of think to myself, okay, the cares of the world. There's a verse that the Apostle Paul writes, and he says this. He says that your life is hidden with God in Christ. I get that. When my kids were nervous when they were little, they would come into my bed and get under my covers, and they would hide. Your life is hidden with God in Christ. I'm thankful for that. And then the apostle says, and when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. That's a real comforting verse. Except when he says, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear. And then I ask the real strong question, is Christ my life? Or is my life my job? My life is not my job. I know that. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, is my life my 403B? Is my life my kids? Is my life my health? Is my life my leisure time? Whatever that might be. When Christ, who is your life. And then I step back and I say, okay, if I'm honest with myself, is Christ my life? The cares of the world, do they choke? The deceitfulness of riches, When I put my mind in neutral, and after a day with kids, you know, you got to put your mind in neutral. You just sort of sit there and you just veg out. And where does your mind go? Does it go to all of that money? You don't really have to be rich to say that, right? The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke. That's a little convicting to me. And then the last seed, the Lord Jesus said, but some fell on good ground. And it yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. And he says in verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The good ground. The good ground. I pray that our hearts would be the good ground. I pray that our hearts would be the good ground, that the Spirit of God would make my heart the good ground. There's nothing the matter with the seed. The message comes from the glorious Lord Himself. He's the sower. How am I going to receive it? And what is my reaction going to be because of it? The seed falls on the good ground and it brings forth fruit. That's the sign of life. Does my life bear fruit or not? So maybe we could just talk about that for a moment. The first thing is this. There's all different kind of fruit. I mean, there's watermelon, that's really big fruit, and there's raspberries that are little fruit. Do I would rather be a watermelon than a raspberry, you know, because watermelons, no, none of that, right? You discount that very quickly. The idea would be, is there any notice of fruit at all in my life? Is my life producing fruit or is it not producing fruit? Because fruit is the sign of life. Fruit is a sign of life. In the New Testament, the apostle shares out what the fruit of the Spirit is. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and is joy and is peace. That's what it's characterized by. Right? It's not a question of how many people did I lead to Christ. That can't be the rubric because because I'm not going to do well if that's the rubric. If the rubric is how many church meetings you go to, I'm going to score very high on that, but that's not the rubric either. The rubric is going to be, does my life demonstrate love and joy and peace in the things in which I bring myself to my marriage, as a dad, at my job, in my leisure time, with my thoughts? Now, clearly there's blunders, and there's clearly times of backsliding, and there's clearly times when you go in all different kinds of directions. I get that. But can I say that I have the joy of the Lord in my life, regardless of circumstances? Can I say that I enjoy the peace of the Lord in my life, regardless of my circumstances? And can I say that I'm moved by the love of the Lord in my life, regardless of my circumstances? The sower goes forth to sow. When the apostles heard this message, they didn't understand it. Nobody did. And he was going to have the opportunity to unpack and explain it to them in a private group. And I would love for nothing else more than for you to have the chance to go home and to take a look at this parable of the sower in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And then find that prophecy of Isaiah of why didn't he expound on it publicly? Why did he just say it privately to this group? And what was he talking about those four different types of soils? And which particular soil group do I lean towards? And understanding his heart, the sower, that the sower didn't come to judge. The sower came to express the great joy of the kingdom of God, of abundant life, and of confidence of heaven, and having the opportunity to have a relationship with the living God. Praise the Lord this morning as He reveals His hearts and as He reveals our hearts too. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this great truth, this great parable of the sower. And we do pray that as there's a testimony here in Fanwood, right here at 5 Morris Avenue, that the seed, which is the word of God, could go forth, and that it's certainly going to get a reaction from all different kinds of people in this community, but that it would fall on good ground, and that hearers would hear this word, and that they would be convicted, and Lord, that there could be fruit in all of our lives, fruit that demonstrates the sign of life in me. And so I pray that each heart here would take seriously this great truth, and that we would consider this and see how our hearts compare. And Lord, that we might, that our heart could be more like your heart. For we would ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.